Van der Gag who drives it through! Oh, that's a magnificent goal! A sensational goal by the Hullamal captain, Mitchell van der Gag!
We had the high notes on the park. That's how we became a great team together, you know. It was just unfortunate we never won anything.
Lane's in trouble, it's Steve Kent! The super sub has done it again! And Hullamal are back in front!
Without supporters, you cannot play a game. They are a very, very important part of the club.
Jukovic on the chase, might get there. Handel is with it. Jukovic! Oh, wow! Oh, wow! Lukas Jukovic!
I remember to this day, it was unbelievable, and that's another reason I love going back to Fir Park, because you do get to interact with the supporters again, who were wonderful for me.
Chance here for Motherwell. This is Pettigrew, outnumbered though, still has it. Chance of a lifetime for Pettigrew, and it is there!
Yeah, obviously being on the podcast is everything I've dreamed of.
Goes through the middle though, Marvin Johnson. Defenders backing off. To good deflection! And there goes! Misjudged by Bale! Fair Park, twisting, shouting, shaking!
Hello and welcome to the MFC podcast. Dave, myself, Jay and Buster will go over the 1-0 victory at home to Kilmarnock. Look forward to Keith Lasley's testimonial match. Discuss the incomings and perhaps a few outgoings of the transfer window. And whatever else we can think of over the course of the next hour. How are we, guys?
Yeah, not bad. Pretty good, thank you.
Good stuff. Well, a victory on Saturday. It wasn't a pretty game, Jay, but a vital result going into the international break, and it possibly could have been more comfortable.
Yeah, it was a decent performance. I'm not sure, again, don't want to, you know, be too, not doom and gloom, but I mean, it wasn't a particularly good football team we were playing against. I'd kind of, you know, at the game, I was far too, a bit more focused on Motherwell, but then even watching the highlights, Kilmarnock are just so, so poor. And, you know, obviously a couple of the Kelly boys were in the pub before the game, and they were adamant that this is the worst Kilmarnock side they've seen in some time. So, you know, it's certainly nothing to get carried away. You know, the fact that our two victories this season, apart from the first day of the season, have come against these Fife and a terrible, terrible, terrible Kilmarnock side. But that said, you know, we did look a little more lively. I think a lot of that was down to Dom Thomas playing. I think we've been saying for a few weeks now that Dom Thomas should have been starting against Marvin Johnson. I said last week, or when we did the predictions, that you know, if he started Dom Thomas ahead of Marvin Johnson, then I reckon we'd win. And I think within about 5 minutes, Thomas had already, you know, surely cemented his place in the side for the next few weeks, because, you know, he offers you just, you know, that spark, that drive, and he was fantastic. And, you know, if we'd sort of stuck to the same old routine with Johnson on the left, you know, it might have been a different game, because, you know, as comfortable as it could have been, you know, when you win 1-0 a penalty, there's still the chance that you can throw it away.
Buster, I know you weren't at the game on Saturday, but when you were reading the team news, it must have given you a bit of a lift and a bit of encouragement that Ian Barraclough brought in Dom Thomas for what was a well overdue start.
Yep, you know, as Jay says, it's something that we'd all been sort of hoping for. So it was good to see that he was willing to change it up a bit. I thought he'd maybe change the formation as well, but for what I hear, that was very similar as always. Thomas seemed to link up well with Scott McDonald as well at times, which again is encouraging. Even although I wasn't there, through what I've seen and through what I've heard for you guys and other people, I think McDonald's just still to sit in a bit deep, you know.
Yeah, I think he was a bit. He was certainly more involved than he has been in previous weeks. Perhaps needs a goal and leak action, I think, to maybe just boost his confidence. But the thing, considering we'll go into the fact that we've signed another striker last week later on in the show, but I would like to see us play two up top rather than there being a big gap between what's meant to be our most attacking midfield role and our lone striker. I would like to see Molt and McDonald be able to combine a bit better.
Well, you know, I don't think you're the only one. I think I've been saying it for the last couple of weeks. If you read any of the forums and things like that, you know, everybody's saying McDonald's playing far too deep. So it's something that everybody wants to see, to have, as you say, the amount of strikers we've got, and to play one up front. Again, we'll get on earlier, but it's kind of baffling. The positive things is, you know, although the performances weren't great, we've started to win, basically. Although the East Fife game was an extra time, you know, we've managed to win another league game this season. So if we can maybe put the performance, you know, and things like the clean sheet and that together. I know it was Kilmarnock, and I know you say they're not a very good team, but maybe that's what it's going to take, just one wee sort of terrible win to kickstart our season.
Jay, it was described as a couple of must-win games for Ian Barraclough last week, the East Fife game in the League Cup, followed by the Kilmarnock game. By hook or by crook, he has got results in both these games, and I wouldn't say it's a stay of execution. I think we knew that he would remain in his position regardless of the end outcomes of these games, but it would certainly put him under huge pressure and huge scrutiny. While that still remains to a certain extent, he has perhaps relieved a wee bit of the strain in his shoulders just now.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, as much as we have been critical of Barraclough this season, and have asked, maybe not even critical, but, you know, asking questions, because the jury is out this season. You know, we said it last season, he had a job to do, he managed to do it through the playoffs, and you can't really judge him on last season. He inherited a bit of a mess from McCall. He was taking over a side that, well, seemed to just be plummeting. But, you know, eventually he got the job done. And so it came down to, you know, the summer for him to rebuild his side, to make his mark in the team. And these are the games that, you know, you need to judge them on. I thought the nonsense about, you know, Barraclough out on social media and Steelman online is far too early. It's just a joke. But that doesn't mean that you can't be critical, you can't ask questions, and there still are a lot of concerns for me. I think that one of the concerns I had was that he seemed to be very stubborn in his team selection and in his system. I think that the game on Saturday kind of, you know, disproved that slightly, with Kennedy coming in, and obviously Thomas is starting, so it shows that he is prepared to make a couple of changes. Of course, the system remained the same. I still have concerns over the fact that he seems to be the only person on the planet who thinks that Scott McDonald is doing well enough in that role to actually keep getting a game. I think there are concerns over his signing policy, which, as you said, will no doubt come on to. I think there's concerns over his reluctance to actually play young players, because I think that when you continue to sign players, you are effectively saying that the youngsters aren't going to get a game. I think that, you know, he does have his favourites, which again we spoke about last week. I think there are favourites who underperform, you know, the likes of Scott McDonald, who for me shouldn't be in the team, or at least shouldn't be in the team in that position, and yet continually gets played. So there's still big questions. He still needs to prove himself as a good enough manager for me. Still questions that need answered. But in terms of, you know, getting the result, putting out a team that could get the win Saturday, and making those changes. Because I think it's, you know, it's one thing to say that the win has relieved the pressure, but I think starting Dom Thomas itself was a big thing for Barraclough. Because I think, especially after Tuesday night, I think if Ian Barraclough had started Marvin Johnson, regardless of the outcome of the game, I think that the Barraclough out chance would have noticeably increased.
Yeah, but do you not think that it was still down to Thomas to come in and perform to a high level? We've seen him in brief spells in Scottish Premiership games, but we've not had the opportunity to see him test himself over the 90 minutes, and he came through that with flying colours. That's possibly a bigger thing than anything Ian Barraclough did, the performance of Thomas and what it might do for Thomas going forward.
Oh yeah, I mean, that's the thing, you need to give young players a chance. That's one of the things I've been most disappointed with this season, because the rhetoric from the club and from Barraclough and pretty much everybody associated with the club, Les, etc., was that, you know, this was, you were going to obviously have a clear out in the summer and the young players were going to get their chance. Young players are the lifeblood of the game, etc., etc. So I was really looking forward to this season and seeing us building a side, you know, comprising of Thomas, Moore, Watt, Cadden, etc. Okay, it might not be a side that gets you into Europe, but you know, there is something exciting that we're going to see young, enthusiastic footballers rather than just, you know, your bog standard players who at times look as though they're not really interested. And that's been my biggest letdown this season, the fact that not only are we not giving young players the chance that I think they need, but we actually seem to be actively trying to create a situation where they don't get anywhere near the team. So, you know, the perfect example, you know, the strikers situation, we now have Craig Moore who is going to end up like the next Bob McHugh because he's not even getting the chance. Okay, if you don't rate him when you don't think, I'm not suggesting he's the best footballer of all time, but to have a have your one striker remaining from the last season, to have a young guy who you've produced, who has played some first team football, who scored a great goal, who's actually played some decent games, to just farm him off on loan as your sixth choice striker when you're supposed to be giving young guys a chance, it's completely, you know, it's hypocritical and it basically blows that out of the water. So that's been a big disappointment. So the fact that Thomas did get the run out, did get the full 90, I thought he tired a wee bit at the end, but it just shows you that's the kind of return you get when you give these young guys a chance. And I still don't think that we're doing it, and I still don't think we're going to do it. You know, there was an article at the weekend there, a couple of articles on Les Hutchison, and one was about the Welsh Society in particular, and the other was just sort of about him in general. And the quote here is, so talking about Ian Barraclough, he's working with Stephen on the under-20s, and even now trying to get another two or three players for the team because we haven't got the young talent yet. Until then, we need to bridge the gap with some older players. That's it. You know, we're basically just in one line. The owner of our club has basically just dismissed our entire youth system and the products of that youth system. So it's just a bizarre situation we're in, where youth has to be the way we go down. It has to be what we're trying to achieve. It was supposed to be based on what we were told. And yet not only are we, you know, farming out young players on loan like Moore, but we seem to be building a culture at the club where these young guys know that they aren't good enough or are told they aren't good enough. That's the owner of your club in a national newspaper saying that the young guys aren't good enough. When guys like Dom Thomas show you that that's not true. And it's just bizarre, it's really bizarre, and it's something that I've got some difficulty with, because I don't mind, like Stuart McCall last season, you didn't judge him on the young players he brought through, because he never really claimed to be that kind of manager. At no point did Stuart McCall kind of come out and say, oh well, my philosophy is to bring in young players and to build a side of them. But Barraclough and the club have been stating that position, they've been saying that young players are going to get their chance, and that hasn't been the case. And in fact, we've got to a point now where people like Joe Chalmers and Kieran Kennedy are being used as examples of the young players. And I'm sorry, when you sign the products of other youth system for your first team, that isn't you bringing through young players. So it's great to see Dom Thomas get his chance, but I fear that he's probably going to be the only one this season.
First, I'm going to bring in just a second, mate, I promise. But Jay, who do you think is passing down this message of the lack of talent coming through at youth level? Because Les Hutchison isn't going to see the under-20s. He isn't going regularly to go and see the first team. So I don't really understand why he's been a mouthpiece there for the footballing side of the club. Albeit in a business level, he's the main man. So he really has an attention to when he speaks about that element of the club. But I don't understand why he's discussing footballing issues. And I dare say that many of our young players possibly won't have read the interview, but if they do come across that, and perhaps more worryingly relatives and things like that who sometimes push for their younger sons or daughters to... Daughters? None of their daughters play for the Motherwell first team. But, they'll be pushing on their kids to perhaps play at a higher level than Motherwell. They'll be looking at that thinking, they've not got a chance here.
Aye, I mean that's the one thing that really stood out for me. I mean, firstly, let's point out that it's in the Daily Mail, horrible, horrible newspaper, and you know at times things can get taken out of context, you can be misquoted, but when you read through it, it seems pretty pretty obvious that it's not a misquote. I mean, the quote is, they are, you know, we are bringing in some even more signings on top of the signings we've made because we, the young players aren't good enough. That's what it says. And that's a bizarre message to be putting out there, because even if that's true, even if you believe that our youth system isn't providing good enough players, we've had all the chat in the past about how we missed out on guys like Gary Mackay, Steve and Andrew Robertson, etc. Our youth system is poor at the moment, not just because, you know, the facilities aren't there or the coaching, but it's because, you know, these young guys aren't wanting to play for Motherwell in the first place because they don't see it as being a viable option for them to progress and to get into the first team. They're far more likely to go to Hamilton Accies than they are to come to us. And all you're doing there is actually making it worse. You're actually saying that, you know, you're coming out and basically slating your young players, saying they're not good enough. I mean, who in their right mind is going to then want to go and play for Motherwell, a club where, you know, you can basically come through the youth system, make that natural progression where you're just on the cusp of getting your, you know, your chance in the first team, as Craig Moore seemed to be, particularly during pre-season when he was getting a lot of games, and then within a matter of, you know, a couple of weeks, your sixth choice striker and playing at Ayr United. It's just bizarre. And again, I don't mind so much the fact that that is the way we're going, because, you know, if that's the way the manager or the club wants to do it, then crack on. You know, I'm not paid to make these decisions, but it's the saying one thing and doing the complete opposite. If the club wants to pretend that it's going to be about blooding young players and giving them a chance, then, you know, give guys like Cadden, etc., a chance, rather than the chance they got last season where they were the shining light being brought on, you know, with 20 minutes to go and a humping at Dens Park. You know, give them a proper chance. Dom Thomas has shown that if you give a player a chance, they can grasp it with both hands, and we seem completely disinterested in doing it. And it's quite worrying that we are, you know, not just signing players to replace the youngsters, but we're signing short-term, short-term signings to the end of the season and things. And then what happens when those guys leave? Are we just going to bring Craig Moore back for United and hope that he's ready for the first team? It's just, it just seems utterly, utterly bizarre to me.
I think that, to be honest with you, I think it's maybe a bit premature to be slating the policy, because regardless of what's going on at the club before, you know, they're saying they want to bring through the, you know, start for the start, all the way for the, you know, the under-15s or whatever, bring them through. So, you know, they're maybe thinking of it long term rather than, you know, your Craig Moores who've been here for a few years. Don't get me wrong, Dom Thomas, you know, in my opinion, as we all say, you should be in the team. Luke Watt is maybe the only other youngster I can think he would maybe get a chance now. Other than that, I've never seen the boy McLean, who apparently was on the cusp of coming into the team before he got injured. I've not really seen much of Cadden. Jack Leach as well, you know, these guys are sort of getting a chance, but I can see the point where they're bringing in youngish players, even for fees, like Louis Moult, and then now hoping to sell them on. You know, that's, as you said, Jay, that looks like the way we're going to go as well, even at the moment, if it is just until we try and bring through our own talent. But I think it's a bit premature to be sort of, you know, we're saying one thing and doing the other, because I think at the moment, that's a sort of, even if it isn't, it, at the moment it looks like a stopgap until we have brought through, you know, a few players that are first team quality, basically.
I don't disagree. I mean, I agree that it's a long term thing that they're talking about, but that doesn't mean that you just basically say, oh well, you know, the next few years our youth system is shit, we're not bothering with it for, like, you know, the next 3 years until those 15-year-olds come through. To basically come out and have your owner say that the players that you've produced aren't good enough. And to send, you know, again, like, you take the signing of strikers, you take the fact that Craig Moore has done an alright job in the Premier League. For me, no club really needs any more than four strikers seems, unless you are, you know, I mean, like, teams like Celtic, for example, can afford to bring in guys and they never play, like that Skeptovich or whatever his name is and things like that, you know, guys who are surplus to requirements, and it doesn't really matter to them because they've got the money. We can't afford to do that, and yet here we are with a striker who's already in the books, who's come through, who has shown that, okay, he might not be, you know, the next big thing, but he can do a job, he can score goals, he can be, you know, a stopgap, or he can sit on the bench and come on with 10 minutes to go, etc. And what do? We send him out on loan and make sure he's sixth choice striker. That, for me, isn't just, you know, biding your time until the next generation of young players come through. That, to me, is actively, you know, eradicating the chance of the young players you've already got even having a chance.
Don't get me wrong, I'm not taking Les Hutchison's side here, especially now if he's wording things the way it was read out. But if Craig Moore, if the team, the management team feel he's not good enough, and he has then been relegated to sixth choice, I can see that, you know, even if it gets a wee tiny fraction of his wages, you know, back into our budget, I can see the point there. But, you know, as I say, they see them every day, they might not think he's good enough. I can see how that might work out, but I understand and I do know what you mean, but I don't think it's as cut and dry as, you know, Craig Moore's here, we'll give him a chance, see what happens. I mean, what age is the boy now, 22 or something, 21, 22?
Well, he's already scored twice in his three league games at Air United. I know that's a drop down,
so,
a couple of divisions.
So
but the other frustrating thing for me is we've had this academy in place for many years as well. The aims and the objectives of the academy were to breed young talent. So we can't just say now, well, what we've done is we've wasted 5 years essentially here with this academy. It's not worked out. So what we're going to do is have another stopgap. You've invested that much time and money into the academy. You've got to make it work. You can't. I don't think we've got the resources. We certainly don't have the financial power to just write off something on the scale of our academy. So I think Les has said a lot of potentially dangerous things since he came in to the club, and this is another ill-advised statement. I don't think you're going to get many people rushing to back him up. I would take it much more on board if Stephen Craigan was coming out and saying, listen, there's nobody coming through, or Ian Barraclough saying there's no one coming through, but that's certainly not the case. If you think the general manager of the club goes to almost every game, whether it be right from the 19s, the under 20s games, the first team games, and he constantly goes on about the young players going through and how exciting they are. So why is the owner not singing off the same song sheet? That's as bizarre as the signing policy for me.
I know, as you said, I know we've had that academy set up there for a while. Just to point out, I was talking from, you know, Les's and Ian's point of view. They've been here, you know, a year, nine months, something like that. I'm just meaning from their point of view, where they've come in, they've looked at it. I know we've had that sort of set up going for a while, so for their point of view, what I was saying was they might not think there's anything, or Les certainly doesn't seem to think there's anything coming through, so that's where I'm thinking that they're getting, you know, we're getting these funds to buy these players. But as you said,
I was just going to say again, though, I get what you're saying, that if the players aren't good enough, but it has to be about the bigger picture. You can't on one hand say, right, we want to build a culture at the club where a player can come in here when they're 13, 14 and there is a route to the first team, when you are quite clearly showing that there is no route to the first team regardless. You know, it's that, you can't just sort of pick and choose. You either have a youth system that produces players who get a chance in the first team, and you can't say guys like Cadden and Moore and Leach and etc. aren't good enough, because when they have been called upon, they have done well. They have done a job. They haven't stood out. They haven't, you know, I mean, there are players who, I mean, Tony Straker was signed on loan last season and was far worse than any of the young players who have came through at any point, you know, over the last year or so. So, you know, you have to have that. You can't, on the one hand, be encouraging young players to come and, you know, cast a lot in with your team rather than going to Dundee United or Aberdeen or even Aggies and saying to them, yes, you'll develop here, you'll get a chance, when on the same token, at the exact same time, you are coming out in the press saying that there's no young players and sending the one, you know, putting the ones you've got so far down the pecking order that there's really no point in them even being here.
I do agree with you. I'm just sort of trying to think out for what they're trying to say for their side of things, but it's as you said, it's a bit perplexing again, like this sort of striker policy as well.
Where do you think that this has come from, though? Because has Ian Barraclough been dictated to by Les? Because he's always come in and talked about how it was purely philanthropic and he had no desire to own the club and everything else, but is it the case now that the owner just now is dictating what players Ian Barraclough should be playing? I don't know, but it just seems like he's written off six or seven players with just... And I agree with Jay, the context of the interview doesn't suggest that it's been a misquote, because he's went on and kind of clarified his point. So there's just a few alarm bells from it. I honestly don't believe that he is going into the manager and saying, you will play such and such and you'll leave out, or such and such isn't good enough. I don't believe he knows enough about football to do that, to be perfectly honest, but it is kind of
concerning
that he's been so vocal, and given that the kind of press that the club have got, they do very well at keeping the players on the right track, whether it be in social media or in the mainstream media. So to have the owner come out with some really bizarre statements in a newspaper interview like that, and it's just a bit concerning for me.
Well, I assume that this is in the same, you know, pages where I read what was basically his threats about the Welsh society again. Maybe he's just thinking if he threatens these youngsters with the fact that they're not going to get into the team, they'll up their game. That's another discussion, though.
He kind of just got about threatening people, does he? Well, it kind of comes back to the it's up to you guys type thing, I guess, but the end of it is, though, I would prefer to see him kicking some arses behind the scenes rather than try to stamp his mark on the football side of things, which he's been in Pitlochry. I don't know if he was at the game on Saturday. He certainly wasn't at the St Johnston game the weekend before. So he's in the country just now. I don't understand why he's giving interviews to national press but not going to see the team. I would be more qualified to talk to the press about the current team because I'm going to the games. He's no.
Well, I mean,
no one would listen, but...
Well, I don't know about that. STD probably would.
We're all having our digs tonight.
Right, well, really, I suppose that brings us on nicely to Theo Robinson, who did come in on Friday. Didn't go straight into the team for the game against Kilmarnock, but came off the bench with about 20 minutes to go. His signing was met with a lack of enthusiasm, put it that way, just due to the fact that he was the fifth striker in the door. His debut was fairly uninspiring, Jay, but again, regardless of whether he was the first striker in the door or the fifth striker, you've got to give him a chance and a wee bit of time to settle.
Oh, I mean, completely. I mean, as a player, you know, you're kind of just, you know, you don't know a lot about him, so you're kind of going with what you've heard and what you read. And, you know, like the Jake Taylor signing, you know, you're reading decent things. He seems as though he'd be a good acquisition. So there's no reason to doubt that he won't, you know, perhaps become a decent SPL striker for us, maybe bag a few goals. But you're right, it's a bizarre, I can't really get my head around the signing policy. I think one way I saw it described recently was mass panic, which, you know, I don't know if I agree with, but you can kind of see the logic behind that. It's almost as though, oh, things aren't working, so we'll just throw more players at it. As I said earlier, I think that I think a club our size should have maybe four strikers. That seems fair enough, particularly if, you know, you're only playing one up front. So I just can't understand the logic. At the end of the day, if Theo Robinson is better than what we have, then that's fair enough, but that's not argument to add a sixth striker to your squad, because I'm counting Craig Moore in it, because, you know, he's our product, our youth system. He played most games in pre-season. It'd be interesting to actually see, you know, like how many minutes each player played in pre-season, because I think Craig Moore would be right up there. So to bring in, you know, you've already got a striker, you bring in three, and Moult, Fletcher and Clarkson, you re-sign McDonald. So then to add in another striker, I mean, before we even signed Robinson, we were having conversations about how, oh, do we think we've accidentally signed somebody, you know, extra, because we thought we weren't going to get McDonald. So to then go and sign someone else is just, it just seems utterly bizarre to me. And again, it's also because there's previous there. You know, you had this, I think it's widely accepted now that we basically signed Nathan Thomas because we didn't think we were going to get Marvin Johnson, and then got Marvin Johnson anyway. And okay, that might happen once or twice, but you can't run a football club like that, particularly a football club that needs to live within its means. I mean, where is the money going to come for that kind of signing policy when Les isn't there and we're relying on the Welsh society? You know, if that happens, are we going to be, you know, oh, there's another striker who's better than what we've got, or he's number 10, you know, 10th striker, doesn't matter, he's better, we'll sign him. That's not how you sign players for your football team. We now have six strikers. Craig Moore is clearly completely out of the picture. I'd imagine Davy Clarkson probably now assumes that he is out of the picture if he didn't already. And it's just such a strange situation that some of our summer signings already seem to be surplus to requirements. And I've seen it said recently that, oh well, we had five strikers last season. You know, we had Lee Irwin, Craig Moore, Bob McHugh, John Sutton and Scott McDonald. That's fine, but three of those came through your youth system. Three of those are the products of your youth system who are in and around the team. You didn't actively send, you know, the one youth system sort of player that's came through that off on loan and then sign five other strikers. It just seems completely bizarre. So yeah, as a player, it might go on to be brilliant, it might be fantastic, but you can't just sign even more players because he happens to be good. A good manager would say, right, I've got my targets, I want, you know, two strikers, three strikers, and then once you get them, you focus on, you know, building a team. You focus on, you know, getting the team playing well, getting the team playing together. You don't then just add other strikers willy-nilly. So I can understand completely why it was described as mass panic, because it does have that feel about it. You know, the tension's growing. You know, fans are getting on his back. There's obviously East Fife, as you said last week, there wouldn't have been a chant or a shout he wouldn't have heard. And then it's almost as like, oh, there's a good player. He might score my goals. I'll bring him in as well. I just can't get my head around the signing policy whatsoever. And the fact that we're still bringing in, you know, potentially another two or three players, madness. It just seems utterly madness. I don't really understand that at all.
What it certainly shows, though, Busta, is that Ian Barraclough has been backed by those in charge at the club.
I think that's been shown through day one, to be honest with you. How was signing meant again, Andy? You said something like...
I mean, lack of enthusiasm, to say the least, I think.
See, I don't think that's correct, because when people look him up, as Jay says, he looks to have a certain degree of ability. I think it was met with utter confusion, to be honest with you. Is Jay's already gone over, you know, the fact that we're giving away one of our strikers, we've already got four of our strikers, we're bringing him as a fifth or sixth striker. I had questions about the Davy Clarkson signing when he first signed, when we didn't have any strikers anyway, and the fact that he's probably now at fifth in the pecking order, don't worry, McDonald plays in midfield anyway, so he doesn't count, but the fact that Davy Clarkson's probably fifth in the pecking order here, again, what was the point in signing Davy Clarkson? I don't understand that either, to be honest with you. As you said as well, when we brought in a lot of players at the end of last season, we were obviously fighting for survival. It's a bit of a novelty to have, you know, a fairly decent sized squad compared to, you know, 14 senior pros and a bunch of youth guys. Again, this season we seem to have 16, 17, 18, 19 senior pros. It's kind of weird, and as you say, I don't see how, when we don't have financial backing, we're going to be able to sustain this. If Robinson, Theo Robinson, whatever he is, if he reads or hears this, you know, reads anything online or hears anything like this, he's going to be a bit downhearted, because we're all sort of confused by his signing, but it's nothing to do with him. It's just, as Jay says, to do with the utter confusion around about the signing policy here.
See, I don't want to kind of go the against modern football route, but it does seem to be a kind of common occurrence just now that I heard. I know we can't compare and contrast the top league in England to the top league in Scotland. Chelsea have currently got over £70 million worth of players out in loan to get around various things. It just seems that there's been a lot of transfers reported over the last few weeks that you just can't really understand or fathom what purpose it's going to serve. And I really hope that we're not getting dragged into the whole deadline day carry on where you just go out and it's almost like a fire sale type thing. People are just trying to grab whatever they can off the shelf, and that's kind of what seems to happen in deadline day. I would after the January window, there was a lot of excitement because we never had had a deadline day like that, but we've had all summer with the same manager in place. He's been building a squad. He's had a so-called vision of where he wants this squad to be. We're going into the last day. I still think we could do with a right back. I would like to see at least one central midfielder in. And it seems that maybe the club have got a few aces up their sleeves. Maybe they've already got a few deals over the line. But it just seems a wee bit kind of rushed again. And that's... It's completely unnecessary when you've got such a long time to get players in.
Well, I agree to a certain extent with the right back thing, purely on the fact that I think Josh Law has been really poor this season so far. On the flip side, I would say that you've got Luke Watt there who should be getting his chance. So I'm not sure I would agree. I think at the start of the season that most people probably would have been happy to think, you know, we've got Josh Law, Luke Watt, and then we've got the forgotten man Craig Reid as well. You know, obviously not a great player, but you know, you've got players in that position. And last season, you know, we had so many right backs, it's quite good not to have so many. But you know, again, it's that kind of, I don't know, it just seems a little amateurish at times, the fact that, again, I don't want to go back to it, but how you don't really get that nowadays in modern football. You know, things, you know, clubs are so in it's so easy to be in contact with each other. You know, scouting systems are so vast. The idea that you can sign a player almost accidentally, you know, we basically accidentally signed Nathan Thomas last season because we didn't think we were going to get Johnson, and then got him and just went for him anyway. And it just has that kind of feel about it, the fact that it's almost as though we built a side. Because if you remember, we obviously had to rebuild, and then we had the Barraclough, basically, you know, the general consensus seemed to be, not just from the fans, but from Barraclough and the club as well, that, you know, a goalkeeper and a midfielder were, you know, the two remaining, you know, positions on the shopping list, and then that was us good to go. And so we went out and we got Ripley on loan, and we got Taylor on loan. And I think, you know, okay, you can maybe pick holes, right, Josh Law's not good enough or whatever, but that seemed to be us, that seemed to be us set to go. And as I said earlier, we were already debating whether we'd already signed too many strikers. So the fact that we've brought in Theo Robinson and we're looking for more players, it almost feels as though, you know, the first attempt at building a squad didn't work, so we're just going to add more players. It's got that kind of feel about it, that we've accidentally signed the wrong players. We've brought players in, and the season's not started that well, so we've thought, all right, we signed the wrong ones, so we'll just sign more on top of them. And that's the thing, I think that's where it starts to get confusing and a bit more amateurish, because it doesn't really, there's no real logic to it other than, you know, taking the young players that we've got who are apparently on the fringes and just putting them further down the pecking order.
I think another thing as well, see, once we sign, if we sign another midfielder, say a central midfielder, we're going to have Lasley, Pearson, Leach, Taylor, and a new guy, five central midfielders. I know we play three in there at the moment anyway, but again, I think that's a bit overkill.
Well, also, you've also got to remember that Scott McDonald, although he's in there as part of the three, probably is, based on what we've seen, is never ever going to lose his place anyway. So yeah, really, only out of the ones that are left, you're only talking two.
I was actually hoping as well, you know, that McDonald would maybe be moved up front, or somebody would come in and play up front as in a two, as Andy was saying earlier, but that's a bit overkill for me. And I know it's sort of a bit stupid to say, but if we could get players who played a bit more versatility, sorry, that's not a word, but players with a bit more versatility about them, you know, rather than five guys or four guys who play central midfield and, you know, two of them have to sit out every week. I know we're playing McDonald in midfield and we're moaning about that, but that's because he's not a midfielder. If we'd a guy who could maybe step out left or right when needed, we wouldn't need a squad this size, and it'd maybe be a bit, you know, a bit easier on us. And but again, I suppose that's why if these guys who can do that sort of thing are the better quality of player, and that's why they're not teams like us.
Yeah, I think that will now be the case though, where 4 weeks into the English seasons, there'll be players available to go out and loan. I know we've already found one in Jake Taylor. The jury's certainly out in that one for me, and what I've seen of him so far, I think it's what little I've seen of him so far has annoyed me more than anything else. But I do think we will see some movement tomorrow. Hopefully not players going out, but there must be a few players in and around the club just now that are surely considering whether they have any future. I know Jay mentioned David Clarkson there. That's a really interesting one, because even 2 months into your return stint at the club, you must be thinking, I don't think we've got a chance here.
I'd agree with that. That's what I think. I mean, I think on the way to the East Fife game, we were talking about the fact, or even after it, we were talking about the fact that David Clarkson already seemed to be surplus to requirements. So the fact that you now have another striker, Barraclough seems adamant to play this system. Okay, he might change it depending on the opposition, etc. But he seems adamant that Scott McDonald is going to play every week. So even if you play Scott McDonald in that attacking midfield role, or you go to up front and you play McDonald up front, which, see, again, McDonald seems, whether it's written in his contract or whatever, for me, he's been woeful so far last season. So the fact he's even starting suggests to me that either we have a weak manager who can't actually bring himself to drop him because he's a big name, or there's something contractually in there that he needs to play X amount of games or whatever, I don't know. But regardless, Scott McDonald, if you're going two up front or somebody playing in the hole, it's going to be Scott McDonald is going to be there. So that means there's only one striking position. And, you know what, you've got Louis Moult, you've got Louis Moult currently scoring goals. Wes Fletcher looked a decent player when he was there. We've just signed Theo Robinson, who presumably based on his CV is going to be half decent. There quite literally is no room in the squad whatsoever for David Clarkson. He's not going to start games. I can't see how he's going to come off the bench in games unless it's, you know, the last five, because we're already 4-0 up. I mean, David Clarkson probably signed here thinking he was going to be a bit of an impact sub or that kind of thing, like John Sutton was under Barraclough last season. And instead, I think his appearances are going to be very, very rare this season. And again, it just has a kind of a feel of a bit of an accident about it. You know, we accidentally signed Nathan Thomas, we've accidentally signed David Clarkson. And it's kind of just disappointing. And not really something you'd expect from not just a top-flight football club, but a top-flight football club who is seemingly supposed to be trying to budget properly and trying to live within its means.
Well, that's exactly what I was saying earlier. I was confused by Clarkson signing in the first place, despite the fact I don't even think we had any other strikers in the door. And I'd say that to you and a couple of other mates as well, and Joe and Marty shot me down immediately, because I says it didn't inspire me and I wasn't sure where it was fitting. You know, they had a right go at me, but again, he seems to have immediately, a couple of months in, just dropped into fifth choice striker, and as you say, I don't see him getting anywhere near the team.
Well, look ahead to Keith Lasley's testimonial and end on a more positive note, because we seem to be in quite a moaning mood tonight.
2 wins all day, that to you.
I know, we need to get back to losing again. But it's going to be a good occasion. We've talked before about how good a servant to Motherwell Football Club he's been over his 2 spells. Still club captain, still very much a big player on and off the park for the team. Let's hope that we get a decent crowd. I know it's sandwiched in between 2 international games. The reason that Jay can't go, might not ever come back from Georgia, to be honest. hopefully a decent crowd. Bolton coming down, apparently bringing over 200 supporters with them, so it should be good. And a few surprise appearances, one rather obvious, one rumoured and pretty much confirmed as a wee podcast exclusive. You can all read into that what you want. It's one to look forward to, and also a game with no pressure on us as well.
Yeah, just before I start, you know, talking about it and stuff like that as well, I have to confess, I won't be there either. I've got a stag duty to go to. You know, these things are arranged on international weekends, and then Mother will go and arrange a testimonial when I'm away.
The way that you started that there, I thought you had a pre-arranged speech where you were going to pay tribute to Keith Lasley.
I hear that comes now. Keith's been brilliant. Even people, you know, there's people talking, saying things like he was given a season too much last year and things like that as well. But I said last year I thought he was hung out to dry with the fact that he had no real partner in midfield. I tend to think that, you know, it's sort of happened to him again, really a wee bit this year. But, you know, his performances, like up in Inverness and that, I know people were raving about that, his performance against, I think it was Dundee United, I know everybody was sort of chuffed about that as well. You know, the guy's what, 36 year old, he's been a great servant for the club, and he's always wanting to get involved. And, you know, as you say, even last year he's grabbing the mic and he's wanting to sing Twist and Shout and stuff like that. You know, it's the guy's a hero. He's a, you know, he's a bit of a legend at Fir Park, and quite rightly so.
Jay, there's very little you can disagree with there, I suppose.
No, that's it. I mean, he's even the fact that, you know, he's retweeted stuff about the podcast, you know, you go to a Banter Thieves gig and he's there, you know, he just seems to kind of live and breathe, you know, not just, you know, you get captains who'll stick their armband on for the 90 minutes and that's it, but, you know, he's a genuine captain, he seems to, you know, be immersed in just not Motherwell, but the fan culture and all that kind of thing, and he's a class act, and as Buster says, I mean, last season, you know, people talking about him, you know, being passed and stuff, the amount of running he had to do because nobody else was bothering for somebody in his mid-30s was just madness. So, you know, I think he's certainly got this season left in him, and who's to say not another season or two, because, you know, playing in that defensive midfield role, he can still put the boot in, he can still pick a pass, and he's still a class act. So, you know, you're right, I won't be there. I can't say I'm too gutted at missing it, considering I'm going to be in Georgia. But, you know, hopefully there is a half-decent crowd. It's always hit and miss with these kind of things. You know, there can be a bit of luck depending on, you know, what the weather is during the day and that kind of thing. But hopefully there's a decent crowd, because if there's any player at Motherwell that genuinely deserves, you know, a really good testimonial, then it is Keith Lasley.
Yeah, it's, I actually had him coming on the Clyde One phone in a few weeks ago, and his talk, he managed to turn it all round to talking about Motherwell Football Club, despite the fact that Celtic were playing the Champions League that night and everything else. It's just fantastic to hear someone. I think if someone else was discussing it the other day about how footballers had no emotional attachment to a football club, and it was just basically a vehicle to be paid their inflated wages and everything else, and he just puts that completely to bed. It's just, I really believe that he does have a lot of time for the club, the supporters, and it means a lot to him. You could tell that with the relief and the delight when we won that playoff. He did say that night on the phone in that as much as he enjoyed it, he doesn't want to be back there this season, and I think we all agree with that. But I really hope that those that can make it go along and make it a special day for him and his family, who also seem to be completely immersed in the club as well. And I do hope that when the time comes that he does hang up his boots, that he remains around the club in some capacity, because he's one of the few that really seem to have Motherwell Football Club at their hearts. And I suppose you can't expect players just to come in and take to the club. They've got families to support, and football's just a job. But he's one of the few that really epitomise what the club's all about. And I really hope that this isn't his last season. I hope he's around for a few more to come, to whether it be in a coaching role or a playing role.
No, you're right. He seems to be, yes, you say, very well involved in everything. You know, there's, whether or not he's feeling us or not, we certainly seem to think there's some sort of emotional attachment there. I mean, I think he was, you know, about 2021 when we popped him at the juniors, and he was halfway to becoming a spark or something. He always jokes about, isn't it? You know, so he's sort of living the dream there. He's, usually you don't get picked, especially nowadays, you don't get popped at the juniors when you're 19, 20 year old, so it's you know, it's maybe came for something like that, you know, we took a chance on him, and it's, you know, it's given him what, 15, 16 years in a very decent career.
Yeah, but that has been down to his hard work as well, it must be said.
Definitely, I didn't mean all that.
He's meant to be a really good spark, so there's a wee plug for him if he's right, well, we can all go and have a right good greet now. That was really emotional.
Oh no, I'm far too excited about Georgia to greet.
Yeah, I could work tomorrow, so I might greet.
That's why you'll be hearing this podcast on Tuesday evening rather than early starts for me and Busta, and Jay's off to Georgia. mate, have a good time. Please come back safely because we need you for future episodes.
Cheers, I'll try.
Apart from that, just stay safe. You've been listening to the MFC podcast. We'll be back next week. Until then, thank you, goodbye.